This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, it is that time of week again. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne too, filling in for Doc Brown, mate.
Yo, yo, yo.
Lovely to have you back again, good sir.
Yeah, fourth one in a row now.
Yes.
I know.
Doing all right.
You're like getting like the furniture established, right?
Hey, I had a little thought actually about Doc Brown the other day. Do you remember the last time we spoke to him, we called him and he was like, oh, I'm in my trailer, I'm on a big movie set and I'm doing this, you know, Hollywood. Well, I was thinking, do you reckon maybe like, times are just a little bit tough at the moment, and he's actually living in a trailer and just trying to keep up pretenses.
Yeah, no, he was telling the truth, wasn't he?
But he really was.
He was answering questions straight up. So how do we know? You're right. He's like, yeah, I'm just here in my trailer.
In my trailer.
He didn't mention anything about filming.
No one was able to verify anything that he said.
And then he told us some facts.
Trusted.
He told us some facts about, you know, what you get as a film star. In a trailer, you know, if you're number one on the cast, you know, he was just telling us.
Yeah, didn't get any specifics about, you know, yeah.
He was just telling us.
Poor guy. And then he said that he gets to bounce around from certain caravans as well. So maybe he probably can't even pay his rent living in the caravan. Poor dude, times are tough.
I know, it's this austerity, isn't it? Mm. Yeah. It's like everyone's feeling that.
Tell you what, hey, talking about times are tough, Grandmaster Fraud. Grandmaster Flash. We're going to get into that a little later on in the show, but like big things, and people are saying that he could potentially be a little bit of a Milli Vanilli, which is weird for a DJ.
Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely get into all the ins and outs of that shortly.
It's a big story, definitely a big story in the hip-hop world as well.
As well, there's lots more coming up in today's show, including we always love to hear what you guys think was taking the piss.
Yeah.
And that's coming up later. Yes, it's a legend, an icon, not even legend, an icon's birthday today. So we're going to discuss that new music as well. And lots of revolutionary goodies.
Absolutely.
So we want to hear from you guys. TuesdayDrive@FUBARRadio.com. You can hit us on Twitter.com at FUBAR Radio, and the the telephone number 0330-223-0200. I love hearing your voices.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can just hit us up if you want a shout out. Any reason, get
something
in touch.
Might have happened. You could have had a haircut. You look posh.
And you
want
just
people
wanna,
to know about
yeah,
it.
Just put the word out there.
Hey, guys, I think I've actually cracked a rib.
I'm
actually like, it hurts to laugh. It hurts to even stretch, do anything.
It's
I'm
terrible.
A bit of an idiot. I'll
You've
tell you up next.
Stop trying to.
Well, I did it, but it's a very
dirty dancing.
Very, very embarrassing story. Very, very. I'll tell you up next. You're on FUBAR. It's Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne too. That's Flume, holding on the name of that one. You're on FUBAR. It's Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne too, filling in for Doc Brown. Welcome if you've just joined us. Now, guys, I'm in pain. Serious pain.
When did this happen?
Cracked rib type of pain.
Tell us more.
I don't think it's actually cracked. I think it's like, you know, the muscle.
If you pull the
muscle in the, but it's just as painful. And same deal. This happened to me before. There's nothing you can do until it just gets better. Like, you know, even if you have cracked a rib, like, you can't get it cast. You can't do anything. You just got to wait for it
to heal.
Can you
get a body cast?
You could get a body cast.
Get a body cast.
I wouldn't mind one of those, actually. I reckon it wouldn't be so bad. And get wheeled around on a trolley.
Yeah, just like a planking for a while.
Yeah.
Just go face down everything.
So pretty embarrassing though. So basically I was dancing at a club Saturday night.
You getting down.
I was pretty pissed. Pretty pissed, not gonna lie to you. And I have messed myself up quite a few times before on the D4, like, you know, trying to do yoga. I did a yoga class once.
On the dance floor?
In the afternoon, and then went out to a club that night, had a few cans. I was like, oh, I can stand on my head.
Check this out,
is that the type of clubber you are?
That's the type of clubber.
Are you that guy?
Yeah, I'm that guy. Right. I'm that guy.
That's how it gets the ladies' attention.
Yeah, well, that's exactly how it happened on Saturday night. So
the
I was there.
Guys do right? to get women's attention.
Just doing a little one-two step. And then I seen this babe, little smile, back and forth, little smiles. And I was like, yeah, I'm just going to try and slide I'm just going to see if I can slide over to her. Look
get
real
your
smooth.
Friend to stare on.
Yeah, because it was a little wet. It was a little, you know, a little bit of booze on the floor and stuff like that.
Oh, you
like,
thought that might aid your the smooth
well, I sort of sussed
execution
it out.
Of your move.
I didn't just go straight in for it. I was like, I tried to calculate, even in my mind, even though I was a little bit drunk, I was like, you know, I tested out, did like a little, just a little slide, and I was like, oh, yeah, so try to calculate if I go put this much pressure on my legs, slide that far. I did. I wanted it to look smooth. I really wanted it to work out. So basically I slid into her and then fell over, right?
Brilliant.
And
landed. That's not a euphemism.
Landed on a step. No, it's really not. And fuck my rib. Such a dickhead. Didn't really go any further than that with her, unfortunately.
No.
Oh. That's surprising.
Oh, no, right?
Getting assaulted. Violently assaulted by strangers in the club. Yeah, often
just
that
getting
really
slid into
works.
By a random
yeah.
guy in the club.
Because we were literally, we're probably about 5 or 6 feet away from each other. You know, I mean, we're kind of making eye contact, you know, let's get a little jig on, doing a little jig. And I was like, I've got to go. Now it's time to go over there.
Was it a bit like the dance scene in Pulp Fiction?
Which one?
With John Travolta.
Oh, yeah.
Was it like that?
Yeah. You should have very much like that. Very, very much like that. So, yeah, when the time came to actually slide over there, it was all over in about 2 or 3 seconds. Boom! Yeah. Crashed into her. She spilled her drink. I landed on a step. She pissed off, and I looked like a dickhead.
Oh,
and now I can't
dear.
Breathe properly and do anything.
And potentially the next 6 months will be like that.
It's going to be like that. Pretty embarrassing injury.
That is pretty embarrassing. I mean, I think... when you're drunk as well.
Yeah. And it doesn't help.
Things are playing out more smoothly in your mind than if you were sober and you thought that through.
Did you feel the pain straight away?
Yeah. Well, not so bad. It was more when I woke up because there was a bit of a bruise there and stuff as well. But then when I woke up the next day, I was like, oh, that fucking kills.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Are
you guys,
but this must be happening every night in the club.
Well, to me. Definitely to me.
This is why I'm not going out of you.
No,
in the club.
I wouldn't.
No.
How about you guys? Had an embarrassing injury?
You know what? I'm struggling to actually think of
Captain Cool over here. No, yeah. Give me shit, but no. Never in my life, Sarah.
But
love, never.
No, but it's never something like... Honestly, I'm struggling.
Yeah, I don't think I've had an embarrassing injury either.
Really?
This is what happens when you grow up in London.
Yeah, I was raised...
cool.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Right.
There's certain things.
Cool, thanks, guys.
This is just an Australian problem.
Really, I think it is. I'm Welsh for starters.
Yeah, really, it's a Welsh-Australian problem.
Really appreciating the support.
I witnessed two of my friends that I grew up with. One of them, I don't know how embarrassing the first one is, but he had his jaw kind of... It's embarrassing because of his stupidity, not because of the injury itself. He was on, you know, those platforms that have got the wheels that can go in any sort of direction.
Oh, like a little trolley thing?
Yeah.
Look dangerous.
Yeah, he's standing on one of these things.
They're like big,
see, my
big skateboarding
instinct would say, don't get involved with that.
Right.
Hence, I have
no
exactly.
They look like a big skateboarding thing. It looks like a big skateboard.
But then it's not. It can literally just go in any direction.
Or all directions at one time.
And he was standing above, you know, the sharp railings.
Yep.
That's really smart. So he was on that next to the railing.
Just,
that's clever.
And then the trolley thing sort of slid back. And the railing went right through his his lower mandible. It was crazy.
See, in some way, what do they call it? Oh, natural selection. Yeah, that's it. I'm sorry, come on. What level are you on if you're looking at that skateboard thing that goes in any direction? At least a skateboard is out of control and that's just going in one direction potentially.
Oh,
you know, so really... He had it coming at some point.
He's the clumsiest person I know, and he was a waiter for about 3 years.
Oh,
as well.
Goodness.
Yeah, and he never had one accident being a waiter.
No.
And just in normal life.
Under supervision, he's okay. But
normal life, he just couldn't look after himself.
No, the other day, I did see this woman online at her graduation where she was just like, you know, when they had the hat and cloak on and all that stuff, and then got handed the certificate, and she was obviously like, this is the proudest moment of my life. And so she thought it'd be really cool. To do the running man on stage and just face palm.
No.
I was like, that's what you get.
That is exactly what you get. But
you know what? That's
joking.
My niece's slogan. That's what you get.
Is really? She's a smart lady. But I think like you've got to take a chance. You know what I mean? You got to take a chance to have a big look in life. Sometimes you're going to fall on your face and crack your rib and look like a dick in the club.
Yeah.
Like, this
and have a
chance.
Lifetime injury.
Chance
at home. Or like
at least if
friend.
You see the same girl, you won't have to do all that. you know, stuff.
Yeah.
Just the ice has been
broken.
Yourself.
Yeah, the ice has been broken now.
Yeah, yeah, it really, really has. And now, yeah, you owe me a drink, because I even though I spilt yours, I cracked my rib for you, babe.
Exactly. How much has been broken, not just the ice.
How much more do you need? Hey, I would love to hear from you guys if you've had an embarrassing injury, or maybe you know of someone that's had an embarrassing injury. You can tweet us at FUBAR Radio, or hit us on the FUBAR Radio Facebook as well, and we'll get your stories up next. Hey, we had our cool Keith on the show just a couple of weeks ago, and he apparently sent us through some music, which we didn't get a chance to play. Check this out. It's called Black Man, featuring Expected Deck and Headcrack as well. We're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Michael Unarmed. Payne too.
Sean Bell, Unarmed. Oscar Grant.
Very cool.
The jury find George Zimmerman.
That's
not
dope.
Guilty.
Cool Keys featuring Inspector Deck and Headcrack there, Black Man, the name of that one. You're on FUBAR. It's Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne, two filling in for Doc Brown. Is that his
name?
Is that his name?
I'm not sure he exists anymore. I hadn't heard that song before just now.
Yeah, that was powerful.
A nice surprise. Inspector Deck, I do love that dude, and he's one of like the more undersung members of Wu-Tang Clan. But yeah, I just think it's crazy, like, hearing from a British perspective. I think it's out of this world hearing what's going on in the States at the moment with all the racial related incidences with the police and everything and stuff. And so I think it's important that musicians address real issues that are affecting society and don't just talk about themselves and how great their life is and make other people feel shit.
Absolutely.
So that's why I'm always interested to understand what artists' agendas, well, people who want to call themselves artists, what their agendas are with their music and their platform. So I think today also
is
Malcolm X's birthday.
Woo!
The iconic Malcolm X.
Malcolm X,
and this is why I just feel so strongly about sellouts, bringing it back to sellouts, because if someone like Malcolm X said, yo, I got bills to pay, you know, I got to do this, innit, I got to take this check, son, like, then we wouldn't have had Malcolm X, we wouldn't have had Nelson Mandela, we wouldn't have had Martin Luther King, you know, you wouldn't have Bob Marley, all of your favourite artists are people who have stood by their art and their mission, you know, above anything else, by all means necessary. And so I just admire, like, people who are brave enough not to be corporate cocksuckers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sarah Love. Bloody yes. Yes.
Sorry, that was completely like. This is just the ramblings of the inner workings of my mind. Honestly,
you're a legend. Hey, we've got an interview here. This is from when Malcolm X was in foggy old London, of all places. This is from 1964. Pretty inspiring stuff. Check it out.
One of the most powerful, and in many ways the most perplexing movements in the United States of America, the Black Muslims. They are Negro extremists, and they are not only a political movement, they're also a religious movement, and indeed they're a way of life. Their followers, at least 200,000 of them, embrace the faith of Islam and its customs. They want nothing less than a separate Negro state within the United States. But like all revolutionary movements, they face a challenge, because one of their most forceful leaders has now broken away, dissatisfied with the policy of the Black Muslims. And he's now the leader of his own independent group, the Muslim Mosque Incorporated. Can I first of all clear up your name? Was it in fact Malcolm Little?
I don't think it was in fact. If it was in fact, I would have let it remain. Little was the name of the man who formerly owned my grandfather as a slave. So I gave it back.
So do people now address you as Mr. X?
Mr. X, Malcolm X.
The Black Muslim policy, as I was saying, was completely separatist, that they wanted this separate state within the United States. Now, as I understand it, you don't. The policy of your group is now that you don't want this separate state. How do you want? What do you want then?
Well, number one, there are two groups of us now. That is, those who broke away have formed into two groups. One which is religious and based upon the orthodox Islamic teaching, and the other is non-religious. And the name of it is the Organization of Afro-American Unity. And we want to be recognized and respected as human beings. And we have a motto which tells somewhat how we intend to bring it about. Our motto is, by any means necessary, by whatever means is necessary to bring about complete respect and recognition of the 22 million black people in America as human beings. That's what we're for. That's what we're dedicated to.
By any means. By any means.
By any means.
A bloodbath?
Well, I think that as deplorable as the word bloodbath may sound, I think the condition that Negroes in America have already experienced long too long is just as deplorable. And if it takes something that deplorable to remove this other deplorable condition, then I don't think that it's, I think it's justified.
But don't you think there's also justification in the case for the gradual white and Negro coming together, this gradual integration policy? Because after all, it's a change of heart and mind and everything else for both sides.
In America, I don't think there's any gradual coming together. There may be a gradual coming together at the top. A few hand-picked, upper-crust, bourgeois Negroes are coming together with the so-called liberal element in the white community. But at the mass level, I don't think there's any real, honest, sincere coming together. If there's anything, there's a widening of the gap.
Now, if there is this widening of the gap, then, when do you see this explosion taking place?
Well, there doesn't necessarily have to be an explosion. If the proper type of education is brought about to give the people the correct understanding of the causes of these conditions that exist, and to try and educate them away from this animosity and hostility.
But this education takes a long time.
Not as long as legislation. Education will do it much faster than legislation. You can't legislate goodwill.
Now, you said in the end of 1963 that 1964 will be a very explosive year, and in many ways, Mr. X, it has. Has it been as explosive as you would have hoped?
That's not the question. Has it been as explosive as I would have thought? It wasn't as explosive as I would have thought. I think the miracle of 1964 was the ability of the American Negro to restrain himself against extreme unjust provocation and dilly-dallying on the part of the United States government where his rights are concerned.
Will he restrain himself, sir, in 1965?
I very much doubt that he will restrain himself so very much longer.
Mr. X, thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
So I think that recording, though, I think it's quite interesting, the whole Malcolm X story. I think definitely go check out the Spike Lee film about Malcolm X, because I think that's taken from a time where he was still, pretty militant. And he then later went on his pilgrimage to Mecca and everything and had like a epiphany about the meaning of everything, because he went there and encountered there were Muslims who were blonde with blue eye. There were Muslims of all colors, all backgrounds and everything. So it changed his approach and then came back to America and left the Nation of Islam to do his own thing and stuff. But I think he's got so many important points that are still relevant today. Like one of his quotes, he says, "A man who stands for nothing will fall for anything."
Yeah.
And I think that stands in politics, that stands in music, in all kinds of in areas. And I just think it's interesting how someone, you know, he's still so relevant. And one of my favorite quotes of his is, "If you're not careful, the newspapers will have you hating the people who are being oppressed and loving the people who are doing the oppressing."
It's true. Malcolm X, the birthday toys. Today.
Birthday, Malcolm X.
OG.
Absolute legend.
Yes.
Talking about another very, very amazing man, Morgan Freeman.
Hey, equally
Morgan
amazing.
Morgan Freeman. Love him. The voice of God, right? As he really, really is not. Now, he's pushing for something to be legalized. Most people know what it is, but we're going to get into that up next. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh, and Michael Payne, too. As Foreign Beggars featuring Skinny Man, big tune that one, Hold On.
Shout out to Pavan. I bumped into him the other day at Old Street Tube Station. That was a jolly little link up.
I saw him at the last Don't Flop at Ministry of Sound. He's a good dude, is our Pavan.
Nice. There you go. Positive vibes all around. Positive vibes around. Hey, you're on FUBAR. It's Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne, too, filling in for Doc Brown while he lives in a trailer, poor guy. Absolutely terrible stuff. Someone who's definitely not living in a trailer, Morgan Freeman. And if he is in a trailer, it's in a big five-story
movie trailer. As in the 15 minutes before the film starts. No, sorry, forget.
But obviously he's quite unwell, isn't he? So we were just talking about this before off air, that you know he's quite unwell and he's one of the people that does use medicinal marijuana.
I thought you said Doc for a second.
No,
let's not put Doc out there like that.
No, not Doc. No, Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman,
so,
yes.
Yeah.
You listen to his voice and you know he's blazed all the time.
Oh no, he sounds it. He really is the voice of God.
He made it out of the house that day.
I'm Morgan Freeman.
Two goddamn stone.
But yeah, it's a very interesting topic, isn't it? The whole thing legalizing medicinal marijuana, of course, for you know a lot of it can be the only ailment for a lot of pain relief for a lot of ailments. So people obviously really are pushing for it to be legalized. And there was a big thing in Australia just before I moved over here 6 months ago, where a child had leukemia. and the only pain relief he could get was from medicinal marijuana, literally the only thing they could humanly possibly get. So the parents had been getting it from overseas.
Oh, but now, they could have just gone to Western Australia.
Oh, no, well,
they were mad sleeping, son. People are partying out but there.
I was going to have all of this in mind for when I hit Australia.
But Australia, I tell you what, what happened though is the parents actually got arrested. The parents got arrested and they were like for using the medical the marijuana oil. They actually got arrested and were unable to then get it in, and they were like, so they're sitting with a child that has, you know, basically a child that is dying, that they can't give him any relief at all,
but
because
on,
that's all they could get.
But they were arrested for using it. How, so they got busted while they were using it.
Yeah.
How? Someone must have grassed them up.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah, so I mean it's a very difficult one, but it's,
I don't think it's difficult at all. I mean, I'm really curious to know what people out there think of it, because it's hard for me to understand that there's anyone who thinks it shouldn't be legal.
Mm.
Like, on what basis, if you feel that, do you feel weed should stay illegal? You need to hit us up on Twitter and email us at TuesdayDrive@foodbarradio.com, because I just think there's so many reasons why it should be legalized. Morgan Freeman, he says, I'll eat it, I'll drink it, I'll smoke it, I'll snort it. It can be used for children with epilepsy. There's so many medicinal uses for it. And, you know, alcohol has very few medicinal purposes, if any.
Yeah.
So, really, what is the case?
And why are you snorting it, Morgan? Yeah. Phone in if you're listening.
He's just.
Why? I don't get it.
That's how pro.
That sounds really bad. I've heard of, you know, people snorting other drugs that aren't cocaine, like, or stuff like that. Really going, that just ruined my entire nasal system.
No, but
snorting
marijuana.
Actually, do you know what though? It's so true, because I've heard if you just snort one marijuana, you could become a murderer, a rapist, and you will ruin your life just snorting one half of marijuana.
Drug,
and you definitely will become a crackhead as well. Definitely. I mean, so many people I know who started smoking weed then became crackheads or smackheads.
Oh, for real?
No, and that's my dry sarcasm.
I was like, I was fearing for my own safety. I was like, does that mean I'm going to become a crackhead?
No, but it's as easy as that, isn't it, to stir up the fear?
True that.
Like,
but
it's
true
as
that.
Simple as
I do,
that, and it's bullshit.
I do have friends. I sound like a bit like Trisha, as you know. I've always, like, you know, I've got an experience.
You mean Trisha as in
the chat
she
show.
Like made it big in the States, didn't she?
Did she?
I think so.
She's always
that's why
got,
you don't
she
hear
can
from
always
her
relate
now.
To problems. Have you ever noticed that? She can relate to any problem.
I think that's part of the job, like, requirement, isn't it? It's like,
yeah.
You're gonna, like Jeremy Carl,
he
really relates well
once.
To people, doesn't he? Like,
No, he doesn't.
I need to quit with the sarcasm so then Michael understands.
I can't detect it on radio.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I think it is definitely, you know, like, it's definitely one of the most harmless drug as far as, it's obviously not very addictive. The thing, obviously, that can be very, very bad about long-term medicinal marijuana use, not medicinal marijuana, but just smoking weed long term, is it can lead to psychosis, and it
but
does actually.
See,
that's exactly what I was about to say. Yeah. But
well,
I am psychotic myself, so I never got around to it.
So it could just only up the ante. But no, you know, there was that report recently on Channel 4 where they did the Channel 4 on drugs.
Oh, yeah.
And they had. Did you
John
watch
Snow.
It? Yeah, that was wicked.
Brilliant.
Because it was. And why I've rated them for doing it is because it was a very fair way that they looked at it, and they were comparing skunk to weed. And I don't know if you're old enough, Michael, because you look so youthful and pretty.
21 all summer.
Yeah.
That's what he tells everyone. That's what he tells the babes.
But, you know, I remember when skunk came out, when it was a thing, skunk. Yeah. Kind of thing, like where before that it was just weed. Skunk is like some. I mean, me and my friend, we nickname it crack weed because it is like another beast, which is different to weed sort of thing.
It's
so I think when you see the cases of psychosis, it's associated with
quite
skunk,
which
is. And this is another reason why it needs to be legalized, because when something is illegal, there's no legislation on how or monitoring on how things are being engineered. Whereas you've just got people in their garage doing whatever to
all manner of stuff to a plant.
To make
some money out of it.
God knows.
Oh, you're going to love this one. It's covered in fly spray. It's brilliant. It's going to fucking blow your face off.
Yeah, no, fully. It's like it's pretty much the marijuana version of crack. You know, like, you know, you can't afford cocaine. You mix it with some baking soda and some other stuff, and you get more for your buck when you're manufacturing, right? It's the same with skunk.
It really
you add
is.
Shit to it, makes it more powerful for, you
and
know.
And it's all about making increased profits.
Of course.
That's like where the promotion of skunk, you know, why skunk has become so popular.
And once again, proof that just doing one half of marijuana can lead to you becoming a dead.
Don't double drop the marijuanas.
Don't only ever do one marijuana and see how strong they are, and then maybe do the other marijuanas later. Yes. Don't do them all. Never double drop a marijuana.
Never double drop marijuanas.
Very, very much looking forward to speaking to somebody who is actually from the legalized marijuana, medicinal marijuana more specifically, but also marijuana just in general. There's a foundation based here in Camden, actually in London, in Camden, and we're going to be speaking to the founder of this group, Marvin James, coming up next.
We need someone from the other side. So if there's any listeners out there who are just like, hell no, are you guys crazy? What the hell are you talking about? You need to hit us up.
Even if you're a drug dealer, ring it anonymously, because drug dealers would probably be against it, because they're like, yeah, but then men will just get taxed and all that, innit?
Yeah.
If it's legalised, men will just have to hand over 20%, fam.
Yes. So we need to...
Any and you can men call out there shot in skunk, let us know. Yeah.
You can call us as Anon in London.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, definitely. We can do like a Dakota thing on your voice.
We'll make you sound like you're on a trap record.
Yeah, we'll make you sound like Drake and everything. So there's bonuses to calling us 0330-223-0200. Hit us up.
You're on FUBAR. It's Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne too. And this is a bit of Yeezy for you. Get 'em high.
All right.
It's Yeezy featuring Talib and Common and Get 'Em High, the name of that one. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne too, filling in for Doc Brown and Get 'Em High. Indeed, we are talking about should marijuana just across the board be legalised? Obviously, Morgan Freeman, who uses it for medicinal purposes, is a very bit...
One of the many people. Thousands.
That's right, around the world that does use it. He is a very, very big advocate for it just being legalised as well. So we've been discussing this, you know, whether it not even just medicinal, because I think medicinal, like marijuana oil, the oil, like the, I think that's just a complete no-brainer. It's just a total no-brainer that should just be legalized everywhere because
why is that different?
What do you mean?
You say the oil compared to...
Well, I think obviously we're having the conversation about marijuana. I mean, say cigarettes, like, you know, I mean, I'm still, you know, I'm trying to quit smoking. I started smoking cigarettes again after years and years when I moved here 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm like now desperately trying to quit cigarettes again. I think that, like the taxable income from that, say, to the taxable income from legalizing weed would be a much better thing. You know what I mean? Get rid of cigarettes altogether. They're fucking terrible, man. And they're really, really, really hard to quit. Whereas, say, you know, with weed, you're going to have, as opposed to alcohol, you're going to have a lot. I mean, street violence is going to be whoa.
No one's starting a fight when they're blazed up.
But it is an interesting conversation because, like we were saying. Things like obviously skunk, for an example, long term smoking skunk can lead to things like psychosis. And it's not saying that as easy as everything to do with marijuana or weed is good. It's not necessarily saying that, but we're just saying, is it, you know, definitely
but ultimately,
the lesser...
there is a lot of, medical data that suggests that it is actually a better form of pain relief than many of the options that you can buy at your local pharmacy. And, so there are actually lots of medical benefits to it. So even though we're not here saying you should... be thinking that it needs to be legalised. Yeah. It seems like there's a lot of evidence to suggest so. But I really want to hear what the FUBAR radio listeners think. Like, genuinely, I'm just curious, like, as a poll of the British public, like, where people's minds are at with something like this. So, you know, you can hit us on Twitter, FUBAR radio.
Yeah. Do you think it should be legalised? I'm very, very interested now to speak to Marvin James, who is the founder of the Legalised Marijuana Foundation here in London, based in Camden. Obviously, it's pretty obvious which way his opinion is going to go on the whole matter. But
we need someone from the other side of the fence that maybe can battle it out with, what's his name, Marvin?
This is Marvin James. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Hugh.
There he is. How are you doing?
Am I live?
You are, sir. You are as live can be.
You're on air.
No, that's a very nice sound I can hear.
So tell us about your organisation. You're obviously based in one of like the hippie centres of London. But is this a movement that is just about hippies?
No, not at all. I am, you know, I'm a middle class boy. I'm from Cambridge. I basically read Mr. Nice and decided while actually rolling a joint that I'd, you know, just start this drive, you know, this campaign to legalize marijuana.
I see. And so, like, how long have you been involved in this campaign? Like, how long has this been going for?
Can you even remember?
It's a very distinct memory, one of my only memories, actually.
Oh, right. We're just perpetuating the stereotypes.
Marvin, I've got to ask you, Morgan Freeman, we were just talking before, he said that he would eat, smoke, put it up his bum, even snort. snort weed.
He didn't say he'd put it up his bum.
He might.
Stop trying to lower the tone.
Marvin, have you ever snorted weed?
I can confess I've never snorted weed. I don't know why I'd want to.
I was quite... it definitely tweaked my curiosity when I read that Morgan Freeman said it's not something that had ever occurred to me, but yeah. I guess in the right
well,
form...
He's a very interesting character, is Morgan Freeman, isn't he?
Evidently.
Yeah.
He's getting more and more interesting by the week.
Yeah. So what for you, why do you think that marijuana, that weed, that doing the bongs, all of that stuff, why should that be legalised?
I just think the positive effects of marijuana really, really do outweigh all these sort of negative drawbacks that the media would have you believe exist.
Yeah.
And this drive is merely just about extolling the virtues of marijuana and just debunking all the theories that the right-wing media would have you believe.
And so what are you doing to promote this angle then?
Well, we're based on a barge in Camden, actually, and we just invite people on to sample our, delights, and even, politicians and policemen,
get
just to come through. And
they're up for the crack.
Get involved. Not crack, literally, but just...
No, in the Irish sense of the term, yeah. I mean, the crack.
Yeah.
But so how can people get in touch? I mean, that definitely sounds... interesting. Openly inviting people to the barge in Camden.
Yeah.
It's an open invitation. It surely is.
Do you have to bring your own though?
You can if you'd like to. We do prefer to sample our own products. Just in the interest of quality control.
Yes, and you can verify the sources, etc.
Marvin, are you a roll up, a pipe, or a bong man? Do you like to wear one of the bongs that have like the gas mask and the big thing? And like, what do you
that
recommend?
Sounds like something on Tinder.
What do you recommend?
It's like Tinder meets weed. Oh my god, we should start that app, shouldn't we? Like weed heads in your 100-meter radius.
Marvin, are you stoned right now?
I am indeed. I am indeed.
Marvin, do you wake and bake?
I everything and bake.
Have you ever had a bath?
I bake and bake.
This is actually a serious question. I know we're getting a bit silly here, but bucket bongs where you put the you cut off the bottle and you
shout
put the
out
bong.
To all my people in New Zealand.
Have you ever had a bucket bong in a bath while you were in the bath?
That's getting creative. That's getting really creative.
I can't say I've done that yet, but that's a tip for later on today.
Well, then how can you be an advocate for legalising it if you haven't even had a bong in a bath while you're in the bath?
Oh, well, if you look at my my track record, I'm sure you'll see exactly why I'd be an advocate.
Fair enough.
It's funny that Michael Payne's been really quiet during this whole interview.
It is odd. Seeing as it's a subject he's really passionate about, I mean, he doesn't stop bending my ear about it. Like, whenever I bump into him, he's just constantly just talking about how...
I have noticed his distinct silence, actually.
I know that Michael Payne was so keen to fill in for Doc Brown and do this show because he was like, ooh, new customers.
But he did say that
new customers.
He did say to me he needed a number two and so he was going to be right back. So I guess there's a serious operation going on.
Oh, really?
On.
He's gone for a dump.
Number two is the most popular on our menu.
Yes.
Could you describe this Michael Payne fellow?
Yeah, very, very short, much shorter than Hugh, me, and he is kind of a dick. But he's all right.
He's on a scale of one to really good looking, he's about a one. And on a scale of one to great, like, general presentation, it's like going into the minors.
Yeah, it could probably do with a bit more roll on under his arms every now and then.
Right.
No, but he has great glasses. He's got some really cool Malcolm X glasses.
Does. Yeah.
Most appropriate for his birthday.
Yeah, so I'm sure you're really interested in all of that detail, Marvin, aren't you?
Hey, Marvin, actually, has Michael Payne spent much time on the barge with you? Because I got a feeling he might, and if he hasn't, he probably will from now on.
Often he's shooting off to Camden kinda... after the show.
I do have a feeling he'll be paying us a visit very soon.
Excellent. So what's your Twitter at? How can we get in touch with you?
You can't even remember. Do you even have a phone? You probably don't even have a phone, do you, you dick?
Are you in a phone box? Are you in a phone box right now?
I'm talking to you via marijuana and telepathy.
Marvin, do you even know where you are right now? Are you surrounded by a lot of crisps? What are you doing?
No, seriously, what's your Twitter at?
It is at Marvin James _
Smoke weed every day. Oh, Marvin James, thank you so much for your time. If you do bump into Michael Payne anywhere in the next few minutes, could you just tell him to come back into the studio? You might be locked out.
He might be.
Yes, that was really informative. Thanks for all the in-depth information there about your movement. And I think it's a really positive thing that you guys are doing. So really look forward to hearing more about what you're up to.
Yep.
Anytime.
What a guy.
But seriously, send someone out for Michael Payne.
Please. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne too, wherever he is. Black Milk, Hold It Down. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne too, filling in for Doc Brown. And not too far away now, about 15, 20 minutes or so, we got a bit of an update about the whole Grandmaster Flash thing. Is he Grandmaster Fraud? We're going to find out a bit more about that shortly. But Michael Payne, mate, you just missed out. You went for Dookie.
That was a long toilet break, man.
I know.
you went for Dookie, and you missed our interview we had with Marvin James, who was the founder of the Legalize Marijuana Corporation Foundation Indignation Beast Army Camden
Revolution.
Guy, I missed that, actually. I was, took a bit long in the toilet. Me and my intestines were working a few things out.
Yeah. Might have been all them shortbread you're eating before.
Yeah, true.
He did have a few, mate.
Shortbread equals long toilet break.
Yeah.
No, he had some really good informed points to make. I think you'll be interested to listen back to the show. So, make sure you check us out, Food Bar Radio, people.
Mm, absolutely. Now, we still we want to hear from you guys as well. What's your opinion? Do you think weed should be legalised? We've got a very good friend of the show here, Pete from Pimlico, joining us right now. Hello, Pete.
Yeah, ask me the Rizzola, let me rub me ganja.
Pimlico Pete.
Call me the ganja farmer. Hey, Pete, I'm going to just take a shot in the dark here and say, you're yay.
No, I'm totally against it, blood.
Blood.
He's leaning against it.
He's leaning against it. Yeah.
No, massive block of it.
I want them to legalise it.
Why?
And not criticise it. I want them to advertise it, blood.
Yes, boy.
I like how you made that rhyme. Yeah. That was creative. They say weed does make people rather creative, doesn't it? No, but why, genuinely, if you had to give an argument... Oh,
it's all right. Yeah. We went to
cut off the line. I had enough of this. Like, no,
yeah,
I'm joking.
Pete. Bye,
no,
mate.
No,
Pete. Bye, mate.
No, but Pete, if you were having to give your argument to a judge right now, what would your argument be?
I would say, look, Your Highness.
That's a good start.
I'm not going to get violent on weed. I'm not going to go out and beat someone on weed. I'm going to be, you legalize it, you take all the money off the criminals, you can tax it. Because we need some extra money, don't we, Black, for the NHS?
Yes.
Everyone's going to get better and feel better. And imagine the A&E at the weekend. 90% is people drunk, man. Drunk.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's causing all the problems.
Mm.
And you put some weed in the equation, a lot less people are going to get drunk. Work it out, Bloods. Millions of pounds, billions of pounds, and life saved.
Yeah.
I'm sold. Yeah, where do good. I sign?
Good job, Pete.
No, but when you consider all those things, it is like hard to imagine why. I mean, it seems to me it's inevitable. There's going to be a time. Maybe we'll all be old codgers by then, and then we'll be able to just like go crazy on those bucket balls.
But in the meantime, people is getting criminalised, blood.
And that's what's messed up, because people are getting put in jail with like hardened proper criminals. Like, how does that make any sense?
Gay people in the 1950s is criminalised. Now we go, it's crazy. And but you know, it's the same with the weed, isn't it, blood?
And there's this comedian called Bill Hicks. I don't know if you guys have heard of Bill Hicks.
Yeah, Bill Hicks.
But he has this wicked sketch where he's talking about like in the South, deep South in the States, and how the police are it's all you know, militant religious, you know, evangelical Christian police and stuff, who want to arrest people for smoking weed. But his whole argument is, so are you suggesting that God made a mistake? And it's a good point.
Exactly.
It's like this whole like legal process is done under swearing an oath over under the Bible and everything.
God's the biggest dealer of them all.
Isn't it? He's the one who provided us with this goodness in the first place.
Exactly. And everything we need.
I remember Bill Hicks. Bill Hickey said, "Throw away your Mozart, throw away your Picasso, throw away your Jimi Hendrix." If you're anti marijuana, because
he
was all high on marijuana.
Yeah, when all he was
high on Hani Nach music, he was high on some really high, good quality skunk blood.
Hey, Pete, what's the most creative thing you've ever done when you've been high?
It's hard to remember.
Probably
isn't
spaghetti
it,
bolognese, right?
Chased by some Jaffa Cakes.
You know, I like to beat me bongos, you know, blood. I beat me bongos.
Beat the bongos.
All right, so you get higher. What's the time now? 4 PM, then you just get the bongos out.
Yeah, just get them out, blood. Get the bongos out.
Oh, didn't Matthew McConaughey nearly get arrested for getting high and playing bongos naked?
At,
like, full volume.
Get your bongos out
to his neighbours complained.
Oh, really? Yeah. That makes him go up in my estimation.
Yeah,
no,
it's 100%.
Pun intended there either. Yeah, no, but wow, props to him. Seriously,
Go on, Pete,
spit a little freestyle for us with the bongos.
Do it, mate. Sounds like he's playing his spaghetti bolognese.
I wanted the freestyle raps as well, Pete. I know you can play bongos, burn a zoo, and rap some freestyles for us.
Okay.
Here we go.
Let's give it a go. Let's give it a shot, look.
All right. Drum roll, please.
Pass me the Rizola. Let me rough up me ganja. Go the Aranada.
Country
marijuana.
Legalize it!
Yes,
Pete. That was amazing.
You know what? I say there's another key question.
It wasn't really amazing, was it, blood?
No, it was. It was.
No, it wasn't really. We're just high. Everything's amazing when you're high.
That's how Mozart did it.
Yeah.
Very, very similar.
Grammy soon come.
So, Pete, would you say that what's the ultimate munchie for when you're high?
Probably that packet of munchies. They're designed for it, isn't it?
Yeah, I reckon they're
nice, really stay away from pita bread and naan bread. It fills you up too much. Have meat, you know,
right.
Kebab.
Yeah.
A nice kebab.
All of that sounds dutty
to
me.
Dripping with kebab juice down your chin, blood.
Oh,
what about,
Lord.
Do you ever combine? Do you ever put two together? Do you ever have, like, maybe put chocolate munchies in a kebab?
No, that's what you do, didn't it, in Australia?
Oh, it is actually.
You know, you're not actually far off.
You're not, we were just talking about this before the show.
That, or Scotland. Scotland, they love all that putting chocolate in the chips.
Pete.
Oh, I have a deep fried Mars bar and chips, please, blood.
Hey, how about this, though, Pete?
Mars bar is actually the bomb.
How about this for very, very good munchies? A guy in Australia just invented choc corn. It's popcorn. And you know, you get like the little choc tops at the cinema, like a vanilla little ice cream cone with the chocolate topping.
Right?
It's popcorn with chocolate and vanilla ice cream inside it.
Oh.
So you're having bites.
Make me feel sick, blood.
Good. So good.
Says the man.
But does it be a box of Maltesers? Maltesers, a box of them in the cinema.
You know what? Everything you're saying for me makes my stomach turn. Like, I just try to avoid processed foods. So it's like the thought of eating some mechanically removed meat kebab juice.
Yeah.
Mixture
and anything that comes
from a packet. You know what, Pete? I'm all about that ITAL living, and that's got to be the ultimate munchie.
What is that? A what living?
ITAL is vital. It's all about this, yes, pure food that comes from the earth that hasn't been contaminated by being processed in some factory
in space.
Some factory in space. Right, but it tastes good, doesn't it?
No,
not to me, it doesn't.
I want
chocorn
and kebabs.
No, give me Kraft cheese all day long.
I want McDonald's.
McDonald's. Yeah.
Shit. Have you heard Subway? The synthetic cheese? Oh, Subway. You know they put the Subway. The bread is made from the same material that makes yoga mats.
This is like food porn. Yum. This is like food porn.
And it's 70% fish and beetles.
Yoga mat buffet
is just peng. It's all the stuff that they don't use for the Subway. It's just like, oh, it's nice.
Pete, we've got to wrap this up, mate.
It's called Subway because they get the ingredients out of the Subway blood.
Exactly. Yeah. I couldn't have put it better myself. Along Pete. With McDog Foods.
Thanks so much for your time, Pete. You're an absolute legend, mate.
You'll be hearing from their lawyers.
We love you, mate.
No, you'll be hearing. We'll direct them to you. We know your number, Pete. We know you live in Pimlico. Don't be trying to direct them to us.
I'm somewhere in Pimlico, blood, no.
Amazing.
Tough guys.
Thanks so much,
you.
Pete.
I love you, mate.
We love
Happy
you,
Happy smoking,
buddy.
Pete.
Happy smoking.
We love the meatballs.
We love the meatballs.
See, hey, quickly before you go, have you ever snorted weed?
Yeah, and it hurts, blood. Don't do
there
it.
There you go. Thank
Even
you very much.
You ground up
Thank
fine.
You.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Someone punch you in the nose, blood.
Morgan Freeman, the devil is a liar.
The
you of all people should know.
Yeah.
No, but you know what? I think Pete was actually onto something there about the Aussie crazy food
combos. Yeah, he definitely was.
Because I just read recently that there's a chocolate company that has come out with a chocolate bar mixed with Vegemite, mate.
What?
And I told my sister about this. She was like, what is Vegemite? I was like, it's the Aussie version of Marmite. But so, yeah, if you didn't know what Vegemite is
about.
That's
a weird food combo.
So,
that's disgusting.
Chocolate and Marmite.
Nah.
All right, hang on. We'll get into that up next, right after Speech to Bell. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne too. Speech to Bell, the key. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne too, filling in for Doc Brown.
Yes, yes, y'all.
And yeah, we have been discussing whether or not we should legalise weed. We've pretty convincingly come to
I like
yes.
how we've just gone
And now we've gone to weird food combos. I like it.
But where are all the naysayers before we sort of move on to, where are you?
Genuinely,
who doesn't want weed legalised?
I don't want them to think that we're like just going to knock them out the park.
Exactly, this
like,
is
I
a
just
democracy.
Really want to understand the different viewpoints around the world.
Mm. Oh, well. Well, weird food. Here we are. Now, you're saying this is something coming out of Australia. So this one's for me, you're saying, Sarah, was it?
Yeah, well, you can take responsibility for this.
Yeah.
So it's chocolate company has come up with a new idea where it's their very famous chocolate bar combined with Vegemite, which is the Aussie equivalent of Marmite.
Yeah.
Which I wonder how they actually sat around, because they have big board meetings and things, so there must have been a number of people there who that went through first, where they were like, yeah, let's do this.
That, I reckon, would be good, because salty and sweet, like chocolate and salty things, are delicious. If you're eating like a salty crisp,
chocolate pretzels,
something
are good.
Like that, or something like that.
But Marmite pushes the boundaries of saltiness, though.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's painfully salty.
That only means good things, friends. It means you need more chocolate in it. More chocolate in it.
It's true.
I'm not sure it quite works like that.
Kids got it home.
No, because I've seen like the chocolate with sea salt before.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's
nice. Interesting.
Really nice.
What is the actual chocolate bar? Like, what are we dealing with here?
It's just like a plain milk chocolate.
Oh.
But, yes, we've mixed with the Vegemite, mate.
The Vegemite. Yeah, I don't know. I'll probably eat it.
It's fully sick.
Do you know what?
Not in the Aussie sense of the word term fully sick. It's that sounds vomit worthy.
I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, like, what weird food combos have you, like, considered in the past?
Mm.
Or are you hooked on, maybe? Michael, any?
My only one is probably, we were discussing this earlier on, it's just, like, really sweet pancakes with a really sort of savoury Nigerian red stew with, as my Nigerian parents call them, assorted meats.
Assorted meats.
For
that,
all.
That's the disclaimer.
Yeah,
that means
yeah.
I cannot be prosecuted for serving you.
I have to have meat.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, really, you're one of these carnivores.
Yeah.
I actually went to this restaurant once in Nairobi called Carnivore.
That would be my haunt.
And
that would be my haunt.
I hardly even eat meat. Yeah, like I'm kind of pescatarian, I guess. But there I had
pescatarian. Is that someone who pisses off people who eat meat?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
A vegetarian pest.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, I'm not a strict vegetarian. It means I eat fish.
Ah, right. Okay.
Yes.
Why is that though?
Why what?
Can you not imagine this fish screaming for help? Is that what it is?
Well, I mean, I think you raise a good point.
It's a good visual.
You raise a good point. Help me!
If anything, you know, you've seen Finding Nemo. After seeing Finding Nemo, you should be like, I'm not pescatarian anymore. I don't even want to eat fish.
So true, man. I know heaps of girls that are like, oh, they saw the movie Babe. And they're like,
can't eat pork anymore. Finding Nemo, still down the chip shop.
Yeah, I haven't seen Finding Nemo, so maybe that's where I'm going wrong in life.
It's really good.
I do love a bit of sushi.
I love sushi.
I love a bit of sushi.
Yeah, all love it.
But no, but I mean, they say like the meat eater's diet is like one of the biggest threats to the future world health, isn't it? So it's like on many fronts. So environmentally, it's like the biggest contributor to greenhouse gases and global warming. Mm. Like in terms of how bad it is for your health. Is pretty, like, someone who's eaten a red meat diet like their whole life, if you do an autopsy on that person's guts, you just find lots of undigested red meat left
no
in
way
their
I'm
stomach
be,
like
there's no way I'm going to be a disgruntled dead person though, is it, and be like, oh my god, I can't believe you found all this stuff post-mortem.
No, but you're more likely to have a premature death as
but
a result
a
of a meat eater's diet.
Delicious
death by kebab
at
it
the
sounds
dinner table.
Even if you make it to that, the other thing that is so bad about a meat eater's diet is this is the biggest contributor to antibiotics resistance, which is a serious issue in like the
hormones,
coming years.
Yeah.
So you're going to have like basic viruses and things which you can treat with antibiotics now and be cured, which in the past killed like thousands and thousands of people. We're coming to a time now where antibiotics can't cure those because of how intensive farming operates and all the dirty bacteria that is in these nasty farms that are abusing animals, because they have to treat these animals with antibiotics to make sure that we don't get
nervous?
Ill.
I think because you're nervous right about now. He's probably thinking,
when did you see me with those animals?
Poor Michael Payne, he's just about to grow breasts and die, basically.
Yeah, this is the impending future for you if you want to eat a meat eater's diet.
We've been asking you guys, what weird food combos do you have? You can hit us up on the Twitter at Foobar Radio or Facebook, and Foobar Radio on Facebook. We heard Adam from Horsham has tweeted us at Foobar Radio saying, when I have a big roast dinner with potatoes, veg, chicken covered in gravy, I also like to squirt ketchup all over it. It's very controversial.
Yeah, ketchup's pretty nasty.
Yeah, over gravy. I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
you can have it without gravy, but not over gravy.
That's addiction. That is,
do you know what though?
Addiction.
That totally reminds me. My favourite sandwich when I was a kid, I used to call it my monster sandwich. And everyone, whenever any of my older brothers or sisters or my parents would be like, "What do you want to eat?" And I'd go, "Monster sandwich." They go, "Oh, here we go." Uh-oh. Monster sandwich was everything that was in the fridge or the cupboard. So start off with bread,
tea,
butter,
coffee.
No. Peanut butter, mayonnaise, the Vegemite, jam, cheese, ham, lettuce,
Jesus
tomato. Everything piled into this big monster sandwich.
That sounds like when you go to the supermarket when you've not eaten and you're just like grabbing everything. You're like, why have I left the shop spending £200 on all this food I'm not even going
to
eat?
Smoked a zoot and then went to the supermarket. Bang, came back with a monster sandwich.
And a Vegemite chocolate bar.
Pretty great. I've got to say, I'm quite an addict for porridge. Like my day, I always get hungry if I haven't had my gourmet porridge in the morning. And I say my addiction has gone so far, and I'm also addicted to Tabasco. So my addiction has gone so far where one day I thought, how would the porridge be with Tabasco?
Two rights can't make a wrong.
Surely
two rights can't make a wrong. But can they, Sarah Love?
Yes.
I didn't
can
try.
They?
I stopped myself. I was like, slap myself around the face. Wake up, woman! Get a grip of yourself. So yeah, my weird combo, I drew the line. I was like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
But no, I think
go in there, why not? It's life.
When
are you gonna die of love antibacterial chicken
Chicken is the worst. Like, you know, these poor animals.
Oh. You're just shitting on everything I hold dear.
Yes. Yeah, all these poor animals.
We should just get married.
Let's do it, Michael. I'm down. I'm looking. So if you're offering, let's do it. No, but chicken, they eat their own poo in there, man. They never see sunlight, and then you're eating all that negative energy.
This is non-free range, though.
No, free range is a complete farce. Like, they just put that label on, but these animals are abused just as badly. And when I'm saying, it's not even, I just think, how could you wouldn't want your cat or pet dog to be abused, would you?
I don't have pets.
But I'm saying, because
you probably
pets,
ate them.
I'm scared. I think there is
a stigma also with a lot of people where there's an association with eating meat and status. Like, if you're a pauper and you're struggling, you can't afford meat, so therefore you have to eat meat. It's some kind of psychological connection between, like, no, we're doing good because
we have...
Yeah,
you do associate with banquets
and that's what you hear in a lot of different cultures.
Oh, what about mixed kebab? Dirty chicken and dirty
Jesus
lamb.
Christ.
Oh, that's
a good
combo.
That's what you think it is.
Yeah,
I'm 100% having a shawarma on the way home.
Oh, Jesus. I can't even... I don't even... I've never eaten one of them ones. That's the one on the big stick, right?
Yeah. That's like, doner.
That just looks like what's in the toilet.
Shawarma is like Lebanese and the spices and...
Delicious.
You're smacking my chops.
But thinking of tasty munchies also, I saw the other day that some politician... I wish I got dude's name so we could name and shame him. You know how they do the filming of the politicians at House of Commons?
Yeah.
And dude was busted, like, on the... as the camera was on him, where he was digging out his ear hole and then he ate it.
Oh, yeah, that ain't cool. That ain't cool.
We need to find out his name.
Yeah,
that's extreme munchy behaviour.
I'm going to try and find it out now.
You'd have to be pretty...
Let's shame him. I bet he's a Tory.
You'd have to
shame his constituency as well.
You'd have to be pretty damn high, though, to eat your own ear wax and shit and boogers. Like, that's really desperate.
Yeah, that's like we're surviving on an island.
You've got to be the lowest of the low, right? And he is an MP.
So it's all adding up. All the points are joining together. But yeah, I'm definitely curious, like, what other weird combos. But some of them, like, they sound weird. But like the chocolate and sea salt, it sounds kind of weird when you first hear about it, but then you get involved and you're like, oh. So and then when you go to other countries also,
by the way,
have some interesting combos.
His name was
I love
David,
the internet.
David Anderson.
Which
you are a disgusting man.
Yuck.
He's the Bladen MP. And
what's their own party, I wonder? Not that this is gonna reflect on all people of that party or anyone who supports
that. I'd bet
that
money
party.
It was Tory.
Terrible.
That ain't right at all.
Digging out.
Is he
like,
taking a piss?
Oh my days, he was a Labour MP. Yeah.
You see, this is why we lost. This is why Labour is on the back foot.
Literally just monkeys on the party.
Hey, it's nearly time for Are You Taking the Piss? So hit us up. It's at FUBAR Radio on the Twitter or Facebook, FUBAR Radio, and let us know what's been taking the piss. We're going to get into that in about 15 minutes. Coming up next, we've got the details, the updates on the whole Grandmaster Fraud thing. We'll tell you about that right after some Cool Keith. He left us a couple of tunes when he was here last year on FUBAR.
Carry my dick to the front door.
Old sushi cream pies, red gum. Twinkies are delicious with skim milk. Eat my butt.
What is going on?
You know what this song is? This song.
That was wild.
This is the thing with Cool Keith. You never know which way he's going to swing.
Yeah.
Pause.
That was
legit. And this song basically describes the main ingredients that go into McDonald's, if you're curious about that. So McDog food. Yeah.
Chicken nuggets.
That
was featuring Necro, that one.
Literally, McDonald's is like... pig's anus and earlobes.
Awesome, thanks,
and
Sarah.
And do you like? Fancy a bit of pig snout?
If you just tuned in, welcome to Food
you
Bar.
You just put the pig snout in a blender, and there you go.
Lovely.
But you know, you gotta go to some lovely restaurants, and you know, West Africans, West Indians, cow foot, you know.
This is equally interesting, and chicken foot and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, you go. I was having this conversation with my sister the other day about like soul food in the States as well, like how soul food is this great tradition and everything. But a lot of where soul food has come from, ultimately, is what the leftovers that slaves were thrown that they had to. Somehow make into a meal.
Remember
you know,
Friday,
so this isn't necessarily food that people have opted for. Mm. You know,
you know, you know that scene in Friday where Craig, Ice Cube's character, walks in and his dad's in.
Like pig feet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pig feet.
I got a dumb mum in the kitchen.
Hey, you're on FUBAR. Sarah Hughes and Michael Payne too, filling in for Doc Brown. If you just joined us, we were just talking about weird foods, and obviously, Cool Keith there was decided to really join in on that conversation.
Can I just say, that song's not getting played again.
Yeah, we can dust that one.
It was really great talking to you the other week, Cool Keith, but I ain't feeling your song.
All right, moving on.
The first song was dope, though.
It's a private time song.
Moving on from that. So, obviously, very, very big news as well. The whole Grandmaster Flash thing has been going on for a little while, where basically he has been taking a lot of credit. He's been taking just about all the credit for some of the big tunes that the Furious Five were credited for writing, you know, like things like The Message, White Line, stuff like that. And what has transpired is that, obviously, Grandmaster Flash, you know, he's inducted into the whole Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a DJ. He tours around using that name off the back of the success of those songs, which he had apparently not been letting the Furious Five use that for their own purposes, promotional purposes, touring, stuff like that, and just separated himself completely from them. So they, so this is actually a little grab we got here is of Scorpio and Melly Mel speaking with a lawyer just after a judge's recent decision.
And they were two of the rappers from the
The Furious Five. Thank you.
Scorpio wasn't the Gladiator.
Yeah.
No, but where is he? We need to get him on the show.
Yeah. What Gladiator?
Oh no, Wolf. That's what I'm thinking of. Wolf.
All right.
Love
check,
a bit of Wolf.
Check it out.
Man, I'm tired of this, man. I hope, man, we could get this stuff together finally, man.
It's crazy how this dude could do over 200 shows a year, and we could do 9, and he ain't on none of the records, man. We gotta be able to live. Other than that, he's going to be a millionaire, and we're going to die broke.
You know, every record that ever came out under Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Right, and he can't at least give us respect for that. We got, you know what I mean? Like, he's just going to take the ball and run.
Right, whatever DJ got in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for just being a DJ.
I don't know him. He can't give us credit for that.
I mean, he ain't gonna give us credit for nothing. He just want it all and want us just to fall and stay by the wayside. Yeah, man, I hope this court thing be over, man. I'm tired of this, man.
Yeah, man, because he's a girl, man, whining like a baby girl. Next time I have a baby girl, I'm gonna name
her. Hey, what up, honey? It's good. I've got a decision for you from the judge.
All
right. I'm gonna read it to you just like you wrote it. After hearing written and oral argument, the judge found that Grandmaster Flash was not a performer on any of the Grandmaster Flash and Furious Five recordings, on the Sugar Hill record label, including the songs White Lines and The Message. The judge noted that Grandmaster Flash wasn't even with Sugar Hill Records when the song White Lines was recorded and released, or had nothing to do with putting the Furious Five group together. Therefore, the judge has made his final decision and has granted Melly Mel, Scorpio, the right to use the name Grandmaster Flash's Furious Five for the future recording and touring throughout the world.
All right.
Congratulations, gentlemen.
All right.
There you go. Interesting stuff. So, I mean, I didn't even know that he was not, like, had that little to do with those songs. I always thought, obviously, you know, like even we were talking before the show, Sarah, about how, you know, back in those days, a lot of the acts were like, you know, like it would be DJ and then the name of the act, you know what I mean? Hence being Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. But I never knew until reading all of this that he actually had nothing to do with those tunes at all.
But the thing with this issue, I mean, I feel sorry for these guys because that's coming from an era where people had very little awareness of the industry or legalities of intellectual property and all those kinds of things. And, you know, people were truly just doing it from the heart. So they obviously weren't thinking, okay, what's this record going to mean in airplay in X amount of years' time, and that can be paying for my kids' school education or whatever. They weren't thinking on those terms. And in many ways, that's a beautiful thing because there's lots of people who purely just think on those lines now making music. But I think I never was aware that Grandmaster Flash actually claimed any creative responsibility over that song. Also, that's coming from an era where in hip-hop, DJ ruled. DJ was the first thing. There would not be any B-boys, there would not be rappers, there would not be any of the other disciplines of hip-hop if it wasn't for the DJ. I'm not just purely speaking from a biased position being that I'm a DJ.
True,
but the DJ was king. And that is where the whole culture started, and Grandmaster Flash had a reputation as a killer DJ,
yeah.
And then out of that came an opportunity later to release a record, which was like bringing his posse together that he had been working with at Park Jams and things, and hence you had like White Lines, The Message, and all of this stuff. And then also the other thing that I think is a bit problematic with this argument is that I think his whole induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a DJ is purely built on his reputation as a DJ. It wasn't built on just the single of The Message and the importance of that.
He got so successful because off the back of those things, you know what I mean? Off the back of the success of those songs, you know, which is how he obviously built. And what the problem is that he was not letting the Furious Five have anything to do with that. He basically, like, he didn't, maybe not necessarily said that he wrote, produced, rapped on any of those songs.
I think the touring was the main...
And it was the assumption. People have the assumption that when they think of The Message or White Lines, they think of Grandmaster Flash.
Yeah.
And they associate that to then when they go to see him tour and da-da-da-da. So he was taking the credit for it in that sense. It's maybe an assumption, like not necessarily credit-wise or, you know, publishing-wise.
Definitely there's people who, like, have become aware of him because of the success of the record, The Message, and stuff like that. But also, I mean, Grandmaster Flash was one of the illest DJs around at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so people outside of hip-hop were learning about this culture and being told, okay, we've got to go to this party and see what this whole DJing thing is. So you had people like Blondie who had mainstream chart recognition, who brought in people like Grandmaster Flash to, you know, as they recognised hip-hop culture. So that was even aside from just the, you know, they were marvelling at him as a DJ, isn't it? So that was even aside from the record alone. I mean, I accept that definitely he's done a lot of success, but he's a DJ. I've DJed with him a couple of times, and I've got to say, he's not the nicest person that I've ever met in the industry. Mm. He's a bit of a diva, really. Like, he acts like a bit of a bitch in some instances, sort of thing. So, I mean, I can see how frustrating it must be for the guys because they're struggling to work. But at the end of the day, Grandmaster Flash gets up every day. He practices. He makes routines. He's on his grind. He gets to the airport on time. He's doing this. Man is grafting. This is all dude has been doing as a DJ. He's not just going out performing The Message.
But I think he definitely is not. And I've seen him DJ before at festivals, and he does. He rocks his show, and he knows what he's doing, and he's great. But he hasn't, like, what he did was he severed ties. He legally severed ties with the Furious Five.
And also, you know, he applied constraints so that they couldn't even use their own name to tour. You know, I think that's the one that sort of sticks out to me. Is if he was sort of touring around using, you know, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious MCs, and they weren't there with him, cool, he's still Grandmaster Flash. But to apply legal constraints that doesn't allow them to use the name, I think is a massive piss take. I think
but I think they should ring up to
that and just be like, Grandmaster
Flash
is taking the
piss. But they're allowed to use the name Furious Five, right?
They are now.
Yeah. So this is what I mean, is like, it's up to, and this is what it breaks down to nowadays, you know, in so many fields, not just the music industry. It's the people who do and the people who don't. So if you're going to sit at home and just complain online and not really be doing shit and turn up late for meetings and not call, you know, get back to people or whatever, how far do you think you're going to go? But if you're someone who is like pushing the curve, and I accept that he took advantage of their naivety on a legal front.
There is not doing something, and there is not legally being allowed to do something. Had they even wanted to tour as, you know, the Furious Five MCs off the back of the success of, you know, White Lines, The Message, you know, they wouldn't even have been allowed to. And that's the problem. He's not responsible for any of those tunes that made them as a collective big, but he's enjoyed the most success, like,
because he's a serious DJ that murders it down
and
like not many other.
As well.
What was the last record? But and also that's the thing. There's a lot of people who contend who were even writing the lyrics for those records. A lot of those records were even being ghostwritten at that time. So I mean, what was the last record that you heard Melly Mel put out?
Don't know.
Exactly. You know, so it's like he has a name, Melly Mel. These guys, their names are recognised. So they could easily be going out there, you know, get creative, think about other ways of diversifying your portfolio, you know, going out there into the big world.
Brilliant.
And doing stuff, you know.
Or, they could sit back and enjoy the massive fruits of songs like White Noise. White Noise. Sorry, I'm thinking of Disclosure.
Oh, that tune
now.
As well.
Song. Yeah, if they really want to take credit for a Disclosure song, that I think they should be able to.
Yeah.
If it wasn't to be, way. And if it wasn't for DJing, then Disclosure wouldn't even be around. So fuck you, Disclosure. Sign over the rights of White Noise to Melly Mel right now.
Do you know what? Just on that though, because what they're obviously legally, and as we just heard from their lawyer telling them that a judge has now ruled that they can use that name, Grandmaster Flash, for any future promotional touring or recording purposes. What are they going to do? It's not like he's ever going to do a show with them. He's never going to have anything to do with them, like, you know, professionally. So they're going to book tours now saying, yeah, it's Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. Or we're releasing a song now saying it's Grandmaster Flash and Furious Five.
Without Grandmaster Flash.
Without Grandmaster Flash? How weird is that going to be? It's like they've now got the right to do it, but how is it going to be beneficial anyway?
True.
But I think also this is the thing, like, you find he's in a position where he's worldwide renowned. He doesn't need anyone else to
pump
him up.
He has a massive
He does it himself. Yeah. No, but I mean, aside from, like, however it's come to be, he is the one who, like, that's a long time ago. He's maintained this status, you know, to be relevant.
Yeah, irrespective of the circumstances, he has had a head start.
He's still
even
relevant.
From being a famous DJ, he had a head start over the Furious MCs, you know what I mean? Like, he was Grandmaster Flash before, you know, that sort of amalgamation came, you know, about. So he's had a head start. So they, you know, like you said, you're right, the choice is theirs. You can go out and hustle and you know, try and remain relevant and try and see something from this music, or you can sit back and complain. You know, you're absolutely right to be perfectly
but I think it's it because these things become more pertinent issues when you are in a position where you're struggling, and then it's easy to look at, like, why is stuff not going well for me, right? You Whereas, like, I mean, for me, I'd rather that you turn these things into a positive spin rather than me sitting here pointing fingers as XYZ. Like, how much energy and money has gone into this legal case?
Yeah.
That could be time, energy and money going into building something, you know, fresh, dope, hip hop that you are in control of, and learn from that experience. You know what I mean? And I really feel sorry for these guys, because I can feel their pain, like, in their voices.
No, fully.
You know, you got to give props to Flash where it's due. Like, he has built his reputation. You know,
because they were calling him Milli Vanilli. That's what they're saying. They're calling him Milli Vanilli. I was like, come on, we've decided he's a DJ.
Where are those guys?
I don't know. Probably sitting, somewhere with Pete from Pimlico.
Probably signing at the bottom of a TV somewhere, you know, just doing sign language.
Very, very close now to getting up to Are You Taking the Piss Tuesdays, where you can, it's your opportunity to vent.
This is my favourite part of the show.
Yeah, mate, I'll absolutely love
Melly Mel, if you're listening, phone up.
Yeah.
Let's talk about
it. Yeah, Flash.
Not too far away.
Grandmaster Flash.
It's coming up in the next 10 minutes. Tweet us at FUBAR Radio, or get on the Facebook FUBAR Radio as well. What's been taken a piss for you this week? Could have been someone, could have been something.
Anything.
Get into that shortly. I have been whinging. I've been taking the piss today because I've been whinging about my sore ribs. We were talking about embarrassing injuries earlier in the show, and we've had a few tweets come through from that. So we'll get into that up next as well, right after we listen to
some classic material.
Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
This song
the
still
message.
Kills it in the club.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's what's really crazy.
How you look so fast and die so young. So don't like push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Young Fuba. It's Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne too, filling in for Doc Brown. Good man.
Yes.
Good man. And quite possibly also Marvin James, who is co-founder.
Big up to Marvin James.
Big up to Marvin James.
You should really listen back to that interview. It was really interesting.
Very interesting interview earlier in the show.
Sorry.
I've been struggling a lot today because I had a really, really dumb... I did a really, really dumb thing on Saturday night.
You're rehearsing for your role in Dirty Dancing, Australian
remake.
Musical remake.
May have cracked a rib. Either way, it's really, really sore. It hurts to breathe. So we were talking about embarrassing injuries earlier in the show. We've had a couple of... had a tweet come through from Selena in Essex. She said she had an embarrassing injury. Her mum used to be a gardener, and she was at this big fancy garden helping her one day, and a wasp flew up her shorts, stung her right on the tushy.
Oh.
She screamed and cried and was little.
Oh, my God.
And then she had to go into the people next door's house and beg them for ice. And then, so she said she had strangers next door putting ice on her ass.
Oh, my God.
It's kind of
God.
Embarrassing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's messed up, man.
It's messed up on many levels.
Oh my God.
Hey, you know, we're a radio show. We're not bloody therapists.
What's her name and where is she again?
Selena from Essex.
Selena.
Yeah, poor darling.
That's what's happening in Essex. I'm never going back. It's deadly out there.
That's why you got to live in London where there's less gardens, less chance of that happening.
Yeah.
And we had another email. You can email us anytime as well. TuesdayDrive@FUBARradio.com. This one's from Catherine in Greenwich. She says she was on the train home after some work drinks, and she was walking through the carriages of one of the doors, and the slammed shut on her finger. Ooh. And it started bleeding. I got really woozy when I saw whenever I see blood, so I sat down and just sort of fainted. I remember having people hovering over me. The next thing I knew, I was on the back of one of those little buggies they sit disabled people on, and it was driving by the train, beeping. I was just weeping and humiliated whilst people stared and boys pointed and laughed
Christ,
at me.
Catherine.
It was very, very embarrassing, all from just a bit of blood on my finger.
Oh my God, you're like, I don't want to create a scene. I don't want to make a scene.
That's how it actually got a bit deep.
You need to turn that into a film script.
Yeah, pulled the train over before it got to the station, got her off. All the emergency services, helicopter.
Oh no.
Negotiator.
That's awful.
That made me laugh and tell you my rib. Alrighty.
Hughes pain.
Up next, it is time for Are You Taking the Piss? We do it every Tuesday. But hey, how's this on Sunday? I bumped into a really, really good mate from Melbourne, right?
Mm-hmm. In the toilet.
In the toilets of the Hoxton. So I'm going to play one of his tunes right now. He's here just for a few weeks. It's Daniel Merriweather.
Oh, okay.
This one is called Change.
What's he up to over here?
Featuring Wale. I don't know. We'll get him on the show in the next couple of weeks.
He's in public toilets. Michael and I. Oh, sorry. Rapidy raps.
So that's my fault. I didn't tell you how long we got. There you go, Dan Merriweather, Chains featuring Wale. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Michael too. Michael Payne too, beg your pardon me.
That's all right, Michael's fine.
Filling in for Doc Brown.
Yeah, good guy. They ain't got to know the whole name.
Good guy. You guys were desperately trying to figure out where that other sample's been used, weren't you? Did you have any luck?
Yeah, Mary J. Blige used it.
And the sweet memories. That tune.
That's the one.
That's the one.
He's accurate. Spot on.
All right.
Is that actually the same sample?
It's an Isaac Hayes sample.
Online it says that he sampled that for that tune.
Uh-huh. There's a really cool website called, I think it's just called Who Sampled.
Yeah.
And if you search for a sample, it will also tell you everyone else that sampled that same sample.
That's the bane of many producers'
lives. Are you
taking
the piss?
Are they taking the piss all using the same sample?
Exactly. Where's the creativity gone?
No, but speaking of that, I meant to because we didn't get a chance to discuss it properly the other week, because you were talking saying that Ed Sheeran is your homie.
He is. Yeah.
Yeah, and then we were talking about let's get it on, stealing ideas, not paying homage. Not paying homage. But I was just wondering how something like that ends up happening.
Well, with that particular song, I do remember when Ed first played it to me, and I was like, that's Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye. That is literally that song.
And you said he did know the song. He did know Let's Get It On.
Yeah, but then when the thing is, if you take away Ed's lyrics and the melody of Ed's lyrics, you'll see that it's only actually the music that is like Let's Get It On.
Yeah.
He actually wrote it inspired by a Van Morrison song. Because we were joking. I was like, you know, this was before the whole Pharrell lawsuit fast started happening. And I was like, I wonder how long it's going to be before Marvin Gaye's camp come at you. And he was like, well, to be fair, I'm expecting Van Morrison's too. Do you know what I mean? As a joke. And but yeah, I think Ed's greatly inspired by musicians, and he fully admits that. You know, Don't, which was one of the singles off his multi-platinum selling second album, was directly influenced by Don't Mess With My Man, Lucy Pearl.
Lucy Pearl,
you know what I mean? Yeah, he even gave them writing credits on it. That's how far his, you know, homages go. You know, he will pay, you know, he will give credit where credit's due, literally. And, but yeah, some people, you know, and that was all my argument was that week, is that, you know, Ed won't, you know, he not everything Ed does is completely original, but he will let you know
that's just the natural course of things, isn't it? So it's not even that that I question. I just wonder, as an artist, when you come up with something, can you think like, God, that sounds uncannily like something else? As an artist, I think to myself, they did a really great job with that. I want to push a different curve. Let me go back to the drawing board and try and come up with something that's different, yeah, that's new. Mm. So I just wonder how someone goes, that sounds a lot like that. Cool, let's just keep rolling with that.
Tell you what, like, those
why
people,
does that
are you
happen?
Taking the piss?
How are they taking the piss when they do that?
I think the people that write for certain, I'm not going to name any names, but the people that write for
name
certain
those
big,
names.
Like, you know, big
that's
ba-
exactly
bands,
how they make music.
That's how they make music. Mm. They say,
what's popular?
Yeah, exactly. Or what was popular in the 80s? Let's take a song by a seminal rock band, say like Def Leppard or something, and mix, or let's take a song from Greece. You know what I mean? And if people know what I'm talking about, they'll know what I'm talking about.
Tell
you know
me what
I mean?
You're talking about. No, I just think it's hard to even name people who aren't on that kind of flex.
That's
because
true.
It's become so, like, it's just turned into such a currency now where the making music, where it's like people don't actually give a damn about artistry. That's
no,
just
not
something
at all.
That's way in the
yeah,
blood.
It's all business
background.
And all
you know?
Those people.
And that's
all those
boring.
People.
Are you taking the piss?
Are they all taking the piss?
You're lazy.
Taking the bloody money. No. Is what they're doing.
Which is perfect timing now for Are You Taking the Piss Tuesdays, guys. Sarah Love, Michael Payne.
Yeah.
What's been taking the piss for you this week?
Ladies first.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, it's funny because I asked everyone in the studio if they had ever heard of Gem and the Holograms, and there was just
so
crickets. It was just like tumbleweed in the studio. So maybe no one listening is going to even understand what the hell I'm saying. But it's yet another example of these bloody money-hungry filmmaker people taking the piss. And From Page to Screen tweeted us at FUBAR Radio, and he said, when I heard about the rumoured 21 Jump Street / Men in Black crossover film, I thought to myself,
are you taking the piss?
Yeah, that is taking the piss. That's
and, that it, and the Gem and the Holograms. Gem and the Holograms was a cartoon in the 80s that was about this girl band. They lived in an orphanage, but then they made like a rock group together and they were changing the world for positive and all this stuff, and it was all really like yeah. And they've just made this remake film trailer, and it's just like makes a mockery of my childhood. And no, so I just think it's what's the point. And it reminded me very much of these remakes of the Indiana Jones films and everything, and also how much I love the South Park piss take of the remake of the Indiana Jones film, where they spend the whole film like
shafting Harrison Ford.
Indy. And they're
him.
Like, don't do it! Please, don't make it stop! And so, yeah, I just think they're all taking the piss.
Are you taking the piss?
Well, they had the, they did the, I don't know if we spoke about it on a previous show, the Mulan thing. You know,
the
they're
what?
Making a live action movie of Mulan.
Oh, no, but isn't that even controversial for
yeah,
some reason?
Yeah, because they're using
is
a white
like
lady. They're whitewashing
something.
It, basically.
But that's the way it's got to go, because all
well, that's
white
how it went
is
in
all
the,
right.
That's how it went in that Egypt movie, isn't it? The what's it called? Yeah, I didn't even see it. The one with Christian
all
Bell in
them.
It. Because Christian Bell looks mad Egyptian.
All of the, and that's why Disney, I do not trust Disney. I have a big distrust for Disney.
No, I've never,
like,
was, you know,
snakes.
Walt Disney was a fascist, racist, sexist. So it's, you know, it starts from the very origins.
Yeah, but
really,
he made Mickey Mouse,
so balance.
balance there.
Let's think about all the good he did.
But yeah, constantly avoiding like anything other than Anglo-Saxon, you know, Protestant representations of real stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Disney are taking the piss.
Yeah, Disney.
Taking the piss.
All these remakes. Jar Jar Binks is taking the piss. Let's add to that. Let's just throw him in there.
Hey,
I ain't got time for Jar Jar Binks, man.
I've got a really, really big one. But I also, for me, when this happened to me last week, end of last week, I was like, that is massively taking the piss. Or is it? So I don't know. This is a bit of a curious one where I need to ask you guys. Is this a London ting? Does this happen here? Or am I right?
That's the London accent. That is officially
Hugh,
the London accent.
Hugh.
Are you taking the piss?
Don't ever do it again.
Yes.
Right. Tell me. I want to know. Is this taking the piss or is this just something that happens here a lot, right?
Okay.
So I went to a house inspection, right, for this new spot. I was moving in with a couple of mates. Mm. They couldn't make it, so I went there by myself to have a look at this house, organised with me in the real estate there and stuff like that. And then I'm in there for about 5 minutes. The real estate agent gets a phone call. He goes, hang on, wait a sec. Comes back and goes, that was someone else. They've just put an offer in. I like you. You can have the place, but you need to make a decision right now or I'm giving it to them. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. Like, I've got to speak to my other flatmates, and he's like, well, you got like about 5 minutes, right? And I'm like,
such a big decision.
I'm like, I haven't even looked at the whole house yet. Jesus like, Christ. We haven't even looked at.
I haven't got through the front door, mate.
Yeah, barely. I barely even had, right? So I get back to, I was like, I really can't. I need to at least go and speak to my friend. He's like, cool, well, I'll give you like until tonight, like because it was the afternoon. He's like, I'll give you till tonight. So I went to my mate, who's a flatmate I'm moving in with, went to his house, and he said, and which rightfully so, he goes, oh, I don't want to commit to getting this house until I've at least seen it.
Fair enough.
And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty fair enough.
That's reasonable.
So they organised for him to go to, he was organised, my friend was organising with the current tenants to go in the following morning, first thing, to see the place. Mm-hmm. So while they were going back and forth in the group emails with all of us and the real estate,
he then tried it again.
Well, yeah, well, they're going back and forth saying, is 10 all right? Is 11 okay? The real estate agent came back and said, he's like, no, that's it. I'm pulling the pin. You guys are all dicking around. Out. Done. It's gone. Place is gone. Giving it to the other people. And we were like, oh, okay. You know, what the hell? Mm. Like, you know, so my mate got a little bit upset and was like, you know, well, that's it. I don't care for you very much, good sir. Don't care for you very much at all. Right? So that was it. That was the end of the whole thing. Anyway, so then the guy came back to me later and goes, look, if you want it, you can still have it, but you need to get in right now. Da-da-da-da-da. And I was just like, this has gotten really ugly.
The whole thing you're like fearing for your life at this
really,
stage.
Really, really ugly. So can you guys help me here? Is this, I thought, whoa, these people are massively taking the piss. Are they taking the piss or is that just something that happens here?
No, hold on. Is that, does that not happen in Australia?
No way, man. Not that, not crazy. Like, was that like tactics?
Oh, yeah, you've got a lot more space out there.
You get dickhead estate agents, of course, in Australia. But here, like, that was like, was that even a tactic? Was he just on the phone hustling?
That's Aggie. That's Aggie. He's getting Aggie with his sale of that house. But no, I mean, this is why estate agents have such a bad rep in it, because some of them are just like shady like that.
Can you tell me, though, is that taking the piss or is it not?
That's taking the piss. What a liberty.
Thank you. All right.
Trying to play you off the other people.
Now, up next, we want to hear from you. So tweet us at FUBAR Radio or FUBAR Radio on the Facebook. What has been taking the piss for you this week? You know, this is your opportunity to vent. Someone, something, who knows?
Let it out. It is. TuesdayDrive@FUBARradio.com too. Exactly. Give us an email as well.
And we'll get up to that up next, right after MIA. You're on FUBAR, it's Sarah Hugh and Michael Payne too, filling in for Doc Brown, and we are doing Are You Taking the Piss Tuesdays? It's an opportunity to vent someone, something, what's been taking the piss. And now we've had quite a few tweets come through here. We've got Keith from Enfield. He has said, just quite simply, why isn't it Friday yet? Why isn't it Friday yet?
Are you taking the piss?
Why?
Keeps it extra real.
I actually had a really good weekend because I kept thinking it was a day earlier than it was. So I kept thinking, oh, it's Sunday. But really, it was Saturday! Oh, quits in!
The reverse one. We've got Ellie from Reading. She's emailed in at TuesdayDrive@FUBARradio.com. My Instagram feed is filled with celebrities working out in the gym. We get it. You're fit. You're beautiful! Weeps while stuffing my face with kebab.
Oh, are you taking a piss?
Yeah.
Also, unfollow much?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just a suggestion.
Yeah, exactly. Stop feeding these negative images in your direction.
Yeah, just unfollow. If you don't like what I get that with my Instagram, you know. In fact, I don't actually. My Instagram's perfect.
Yeah.
I never get any.
Right. Michael Payne.
Are you taking the piss?
Follow me, innit? Follow me.
I'm not even on Instagram. Is that
you are,
piss?
Actually.
Yeah, as an imposter. I'm quite impressed that someone wanted to. Two people and some of my identity.
At DJ Sarah Love on Instagram.
It's not me.
It is. There's two other ones. There's three of you all together.
And they are fully.
And you're the only one that's not on Instagram. Yeah. Two other fake DJ Sarah Loves.
Are you taking the piss?
There you go.
For real. You better mine. I don't bump into people's. No.
Sarah Love. Aggie Sarah Love.
Sarah Gangster.
Charlie from Shoreham has tweeted in at FUBAR Radio. I'm sat on the train home and there is a guy sat next to me checking out his appearance in his iPhone camera.
Are you taking the piss?
Definitely taking the piss.
What's Steve saying?
But say if he had like the...
That's Charlie from Shoreham.
If he had the remnants of his last meal on his chin, would that not be taking the piss?
But what if he's on his way?
I check my face in my mirror just to say, just to check I haven't got remnants like of food it's in my mirror.
Before you put up your perfect Instagram pictures.
Yeah, selfies are very important. You know?
Maybe he's on his way to a date. Yeah, he wants to marry this
Could
woman.
Be. For real.
You wow. know, so, but no, I can see how some people would think, like, what's wrong with you, mate?
All right, that's about it. It's time.
Oh, really?
The show is up. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Michael.
I'll save my other taking the pistol next week.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to leave you with some Big L, and we'll catch you next Tuesday, 4 till 6 p.m. right here on FUBAR. Yo, pay attention and listen real closely.